Harih Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastoma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 19, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Srila Rupa Goswami. Page 64. Verses 36 to 144. 36 to 61. Rupa Goswami's younger brother was a great devotee whose actual name was Sri Vallabha, but he was given the name Anupam Malika. Sri Rupa Goswami and Anupam Malika went to Prayag, and they were very pleased to hear the news that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there. At Prayag, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to see the temple of Bindu Madhava, and many hundreds of thousands of people followed him just to meet him. Some of the people following the Lord were crying. Some were laughing, some dancing, and some chanting. Indeed, some of them were rolling on the ground, exclaiming, "Krishna, Krishna." Prayag is located at the confluence of two rivers, the Ganges and the Yamuna. Although these rivers are not able to flood Prayag with water, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inundated the whole area with waves of ecstatic love for Krishna. Seeing the great crowd, the two brothers remained standing in a secluded place. They could see that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was ecstatic to see Lord Bindu Madhava. The Lord was loudly chanting the holy name of Hari, dancing in ecstatic love and raising his arms. He asked everyone to chant Hari, Hari. Everyone was astounded to see the greatness of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Indeed, I cannot properly describe the pastimes of the Lord at Prayag. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had made an acquaintance with a Brahmana from Deccan in South India, and that Brahmana invited him for meals and took him to his place. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting in a solitary place in the home of that Deccan Brahmin, Rupa Goswami and Sri Vallabha, Anupam Malika, came to meet him. Seeing the Lord from a distance, the two brothers put two clumps of straw between their teeth and immediately fell down on the ground like rods, offering him obeisances. Both brothers were overwhelmed with ecstatic emotion, and reciting various Sanskrit verses, they stood up and fell down again and again. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased to see Srila Rupa Goswami, and he told him, stand up, my dear Rupa, come here. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, it is not possible to describe Krishna's mercy, for he has delivered you both from the well of material enjoyment. Lord Krishna said, even though a person is a very learned scholar of the Sanskrit Vedic literatures, he is not accepted as my devotee unless he is pure in devotional service. Even though a person is born in a family of dog-eaters, he is very dear to me if he is a pure devotee who has no motive to enjoy fruitive activities or mental speculation. Indeed, all respect should be given to him. Whatever he offers should be accepted. Such devotees are as worshipable as I am. Footnote 9. This verse is included in the Hari Bhakti Vilas 10.127, compiled by Sanatana Goswami. After reciting this verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced the two brothers, and out of his causeless mercy, he placed his feet on their heads. After receiving the Lord's causeless mercy, the two brothers folded their hands and in great humility offered the following prayers unto the Lord. O most munificent incarnation, you are Krishna himself appearing as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You have assumed the golden color of Srimati Radharani, and you are widely distributing pure love of Krishna. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you. We offer our respectful obeisances unto that merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead who has converted all three worlds, which were maddened by ignorance, and saved them from their diseased condition by making them mad with the nectar from the treasure house of love of God. Let us take full shelter of that personality of Godhead. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, whose activities are wonderful. Footnote 20. This verse is found in the Govinda Lilamrita 1-2. So it's the invocation. So Rupa Goswami said it, and then Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami used it for the opening of his work. After this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat them down by his side and asked them, "What news do you have of Sanatana?" Rupa Goswami replied, "Sanatana has now been arrested by the government of Hussein Shah. If you kindly save him, he can be liberated from that entanglement." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately replied, "Sanatana has already been released from his confinement, and he will very soon meet with me." The Brahmana then requested Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to accept his lunch. Rupa Goswami also remained there that day. Balabhadra Bhattacharya invited the two brothers to take lunch also. The remnants of food from the plate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were offered to them. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu selected his residence beside the confluence of the Ganges and the Jamuna, a place called Triveni. The two brothers, Rupa Goswami and Sri Vallabha, selected their residence near the Lord's. At that time, Sri Vallabha Bhatta was staying at Ardaila Grama, and when he heard that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had arrived, he went to his place to see him. There was in a summary or something time before we heard about that, no?
Yes.
Because I remember this island.
Summary of the chapter. Of this chapter.
Yes. Oh, okay. Srila Prabhupada. Vallabha Bhatta was a great learned scholar of Vaishnavism. In the beginning, he was very much devoted to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But since he thought that he could not receive proper respect from him, he later joined the Vishnu Swami sect and became the Acharya of that sect. His sect is celebrated as the Vallabhacharya Sampradaya. This Sampradaya has had great influence in Vrindavan near Gokula and in Bombay. Vallabha Bhatta wrote many books, including a commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam called Subodhini Tika, and notes on the Vedanta Sutra in the form of an Anupasya. He also wrote a combination of 16 short works called Shodasha Grantha. The village where he was staying, Ardaila Grama, or Adeli Grama, was near the confluence of the rivers Ganges and Jamuna, on the other side of the Jamuna from Prayag, about 1 mile from the river. The temple of Lord Vishnu there still belongs to the Vallabha Sampradaya. Vallabha Bhatta was originally from a place in southern India called Trilanga. There is a railway station there called Nidarda Balu. 16 miles from that station is a village called Kankardabada or Kakunraparu. Nothing? Okay.
Huh?
Which was the first one? Okay. You have to use more round, right? Nidadavaralu. 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 Oh, whatever. Nidadavaralu. Nidadavaralu. Yeah, something he said. A learned Brahmin named Lakshmana Dikshita used to live there, and Vallabha Bhatta was his son. There are five sections of the Brahmana community of Andhra Pradesh, known as Belar Nati, Vegi Nati, Muraki Nati, Telugu Nati, and Kashala Nati. Out of these five Brahminical communities, Vallabha Charya took birth in the community of Belar Nati in the year 1400 Shakabda era, AD 1478. According to some people, Vallabha Bhattacharya's father took sannyas before Vallabha's birth, and he returned home to take Vallabhacharya as a son. According to the opinion of others, Vallabhacharya was born in 1400 Shakabda. This was same? Yeah. On the Ekadasi day of the dark moon in the month of Chaitra. And he took his birth in a Brahmin family surnamed Kambhampati Baru.
I didn't open it.
Okay. According to this account, his father's name was Lakshma Mabata Dikshita, and he was born in Champa Karanya. In someone else's opinion, Vallabhacharya appeared near the village named Champa Jhara Grama, which is near a railway station named Rajima in Madhya Pradesh.
Everything is always near a railway station.
Yeah, yeah. Well, otherwise, how do you tell where it is? You know, because these villages you never heard of, but the railroad station you might, you know. And Prabhupada even sometimes tells what railway line it's on, and, you know, everything.
Across the road and which shop.
Yeah, yeah. Ask for this one, not that one, because, you know. After studying for 11 years at Varanasi, Vallabhacharya returned home. On his return, he heard that his father had departed from the material world. Keeping his brother and mother at home, he went to the banks of the river Tungabhadra in a village called Vidyanagara, where he enlightened Krishnadeva, the grandson of King Bhukaraja. After that, he traveled throughout India twice on trips lasting 6 years each. Did I skip something?
No, thrice. He said twice. Three times. He traveled from India thrice.
Oh, yes, thrice, not twice. Thrice on trips lasting 6 years each. So that's 18 years. Wow. Thus, he passed 18 years and became victorious in his discussions of revealed scriptures. When he was 30 years old, he married Mahalakshmi, who belonged to the same Brahmana community as his. Near Govardhan Hill, he established a deity in the valley. Finally, he came to Ardaila, which is on the other side of the Jamuna from Prayag. Vallabhacharya had two sons, Gopinath and Vitaleshwara, and in his old age he accepted the renounced order. In 1452, Shakabda, AD 1530, he passed away from the material world at Varanasi. His book, known as Shodasha Grantha, and his commentaries on the Vedanta Sutra, Anubhasya, and Srimad Bhagavatam, Subodhini, are very famous. He wrote many other books besides. To 1962 to 69. Vallabha Bhattacharya offered Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu his obeisances, and the Lord embraced him. After that, they discussed topics about Krishna for some time. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt great ecstatic love when they began discussing Krishna, but the Lord checked his feelings because he felt shy before Vallabha Bhatta. Although the Lord restrained himself externally, ecstatic love raged within. There was no checking that. Vallabha Bhatta was astonished to detect this. Thereafter, Vallabha Bhatta invited Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for lunch, and the Lord introduced the brothers Rupa and Vallabha to him. From a distance, the brothers Rupa Goswami and Sri Vallabha fell on the ground and offered obeisances to Vallabha Bhatta with great humility. When Vallabha Bhattacharya walked towards them, they ran away to a more distant place. Rupa Goswami said, "I am untouchable and most sinful. Please do not touch me." Vallabha Bhattacharya was very much surprised at this. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, however, was very pleased, and he therefore spoke to him this description of Rupa Goswami. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Don't touch him, for he belongs to a very low class. You are a follower of Vedic principles and are a well-experienced performer of many sacrifices. You also belong to the aristocracy." Srila Prabhupada. Generally, Brahmins are puffed up with false prestige because they belong to the aristocracy and perform many Vedic sacrifices. In South India especially, this fastidious position is most prominent. At any rate, this was the case 500 years ago. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually started a revolution against this Brahminical system by inaugurating the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. By this chanting, one can be delivered regardless of caste, creed, color, or social position. Whoever chants the Hare Krishna Maha mantra is immediately purified due to the transcendental position of devotional service. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is here hinting to Vallabha Bhattacharya that an exalted Brahmin who makes sacrifices and follows Vedic principles should not neglect a person who is engaged in devotional service by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Actually, Rupa Goswami did not belong to a lower caste. He was from a highly aristocratic Brahmin family. Catch the... One was aristocratic. He's highly aristocratic. Because of all the Brahmins, the Saraswat Brahmins are considered the top. Mm-hmm. So even if out of those five groups in Andhra, he was from the Nati or whatever? Bela. Bela Nati. That might be, out of that, they might be the highest. But still, the Saraswats are considered higher. Like that. And technically, even of that, the Gaur Saraswat are considered the best. But he's just throwing that out because that's not the point that's being discussed. The point is that if one is attached to the position, then it's not so good, because what is that? You know, that's just the conditioned identity that's there. You know, as we were discussing in the morning, is the living entity identifies with these things, and so therefore he becomes the doer. But actually, then the soul sees themselves as servant of Krishna, then they don't act within that context. You know, it means that consciousness. Because they know that Krishna is actually, it's through his potencies that everything's happening. So they just assist in serving Krishna. So they don't identify. They use their position, but they don't identify with it. You know, it's just like you can use all the different utensils in the kitchen very nicely and very expertly without identifying with them. In fact, if you identify with them, it becomes a little weird. Yes. You know, you want to cook and, you know, yes, this pot is this and that and this will be... you just use it. Mm-hmm. So that was the thing he was trying to present there.
Do we have devotees from Gaur Saraswat Brahmin families?
Yeah. There are a few. Like that. Yeah, it's amazing to watch others respond when they figure out who they are. You know, because it means with us as Westerners, generally they don't try to figure out who you are because they know who we are. But if someone's Indian, they're always trying to figure out who they are. You know? And so then, no? Yeah, though they always, and they go by that. And then if they're good, then they'll go with the other. But somehow or another, they'll just leave it that we're, you know, like that. But so when they go and this and that, and then they find out, then they're, oh, like that. They're really impressed with that. But, yeah. But the difficulty is also they can be very proud of the position, this, that, and so then that can get in the way of their surrender. So, you know, just so that's the thing. Too pious or too impious, both of them can, you know, can be a problem. You know. Except Jagai Mata, they were from the good family, but so impious. And so, actually, Rupa Goswami did not belong to a lower caste. He was from a highly aristocratic Brahmin family. But due to his association with a Muslim Nawab, he was considered fallen and was excommunicated from Brahmin society. However, due to his advanced devotional service, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted him as a Goswami. So that's why you see all the way through, he's just calling him Rupa Goswami.
Yes.
He's not calling him by any other name. Right? Vallabha Bhattacharya knew all this.
Sure.
One who is a devotee is above caste and creed. Yet Vallabha Bhattacharya felt himself prestigious. Mm-hmm. So he knew all these things, but he still felt himself prestigious. So that was the difficulty that came up. And that's why then, in Lord Chaitanya's line, then he may not get the position that he would feel, you know, socially comfortable with. Because otherwise, then, senior to him are going to be these personalities. Though technically, from the Brahmin standpoint, they're from a higher grade. But at the same time, as they became in a fallen position from accepting that service, not doing. But taking up devotional service, then it doesn't matter. You go beyond. In other words, you're working with upadis. Then they give up that higher upadi position for a lower upadi position. But then when they switch from there to going beyond upadis, then one should accept them on that platform. But those who identify with upadi, then they may not see it so well. Right? So this is something to learn from here. like that. So one has to be very, very careful. Like I said, it would be a very common position that, let's say, two individuals join. What's that? The tick-ticky.
Yeah.
Huh. Has he kept going?
Huh? Yes. Somehow it says behavior.
I mean, if you fall from up there, you might be a little spun out for a while.
He wants to go, he's looking very much fun.
Yeah. He wants to go up, but he doesn't understand you don't go all the way. He has to go over there. Over there. See? There. Right. So, yes, and so let's say on the same day, two persons move into the temple or take up devotional service seriously. You know, they develop that shraddha and take up the service. One, let's say, is a qualified practicing, let's say, doctor, and the other is just, simple office guy. There will be the tendency to think that the doctor guy is more advanced than the office guy. Right? Until they get more mature and you see the preaching and this and that. But in the beginning, the tendency will be to take like that. That's because we're accustomed to working with the upadis. So we look at that aspect. Now, it doesn't mean that that person wouldn't be very qualified to do certain things. He might be able to take up certain organization and responsibilities that the other one might not. And in that way, yes, that's fine. That's being, intelligent and understanding someone's qualification. But at the same time, is you can't consider them more advanced. So this is a very unique thing, is that you could have somebody who's a big manager because he has a background of management, he can do that nicely for Krishna. But he may be junior to many of the people he's managing. And so you have to have that balance. He has to be respected for his ability, to engage in these activities. But at the same time, he has to respect others because devotion is the actual highest thing, not the management. And so that kind of balance, that's a difficult thing. You see that. The kings, they're protecting and taking care of the Brahmins. So in that way, they're under his protection. But at the same time, he respects them as senior to him. Right? But they don't deal with him, oh yeah, he's junior to me. He's the king. So they respect him nicely like that. But they will direction where it's applicable. So that balance, that community element is a very important thing to appreciate within the society of Vaishnavas. Like that.
Now, in the Vedic society, everybody is respecting everyone?
Basically, everyone is respecting for whatever is their qualification in that area. In another area, then they may not be.
Yes, yes.
It's just like, let us say, in the Vedic consideration, you have a person who's a cobbler and he fixes shoes. So when it comes to shoes, you're going to respect him. You're not going to deal with him as that, oh, he's a cobbler and I'm aristocratic, so, deal with him badly. No, they'll deal very nicely. Talk very nicely and deal very, very properly. That would be proper. And you might even have the thing of because you have to be respected according to what qualifications you have, right? So then, that let's say that cobbler is older than the person who's aristocratic. So he would respect him for his age, and then in the context of fixing his shoes. So then he might, talk to him as if he's elder. You like that. And so you have all these very nice things because it's based on relationships. Mm-hmm. That's the important thing. So the ashram side is the actual important side in the Vedic culture. Mm-hmm. The varna side is just to make things, the structure work, and the social systems and economic systems work. You know what I'm saying? So it's wrong to take it that varna ashram means social economic development. Because what about the ashram? That's spiritual. You know what I'm saying? So the point is it's a complete system for people to work in and be able to engage all the different religious activities that they have all together in a nice framework. So in other words, Varna Ashram is the framework on which all the religious positions can be established, including Sad Dharma. No other system can accommodate all religions and Sadhana. Most can't even accomplish all the religious aspects. So it's the best system, it's Krishna's system. That's why he follows it and everyone in the spiritual world follows it. But it's not about the rules and regulations, it's just the perfect structure to fit everything into. Does that make sense? Yeah. But here, if someone identifies with it, then you have problems. So here we see is that Vallabha Bhattacharya, there's a little bit of that element of prestige. Though we see he's a great devotee, he can see all kinds, he's meeting Lord Chaitanya. You know, we see he's done so many great things, you know, very qualified. But at the same time, is he has to be a little bit careful. Vallabha Bhattacharya knew all this. One who is a devotee is above caste and creed. Yet, Vallabha Bhattacharya felt himself prestigious. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya said, oh, don't touch him. He's low class and you're from a high class background. You know, you're from the Veda, do all this, you shouldn't touch him. And by saying that, Bali, yeah, of course, you know, that's the rule. But it's actually saying is that, you know, why you're identifying this way. The present head of the Vallabha Bhattacharya Sampradaya of Bombay is called Dikshita Maharaj. He is very friendly to our movement, and whenever we meet him, this learned Brahmin scholar highly praises the activities of the Hare Krishna movement. He is a life member of our society, and although he is a learned scholar in the Brahminical caste tradition, he accepts our society and considers its members bona fide devotees of Lord Vishnu. Like that. You know, so... She was Vallabha.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And then there was this article in Back to God that came out criticizing the Vallabha Sampradaya.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Prabhupada had to write to her and say, oh, I'm sorry, on behalf of my disciple, they don't have a philosophy.
Yeah, that's the thing. So we'll be very critical at the same time as then, you know, it's yeah. We have to be careful. Mm. Yes?
How come before it was mentioned that he's from the line of Vishnu Swami, their lord, like Ishta Devata, is Nrisinga Devata, and how come they worship Balagopa? You know how this
happened? No, like that. Because the thing is there, I think they're more about parental rasa and stuff like that. But it just might be that that's their deity they always worship. You know, because he protects the line and everything like that. But because he's your deity doesn't mean that you know, you're not worshiping Krishna. So that, June 1970-71. Hearing the holy name constantly vibrated by the two brothers, Vallabha Bhattacharya could understand the hints of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So now he's catching it. Okay. Right? Because he had that mood of the prestige. Now he's starting to notice something. Vallabha Bhattacharya said, since these two are constantly chanting the holy name of Krishna, how can they be untouchable? On the contrary, they are most exalted. Right? Because he's most likely used to always dealing in that way because of his background, his position, and everything. And so then he's dealing like this. But then with Lord Chaitanya making this comment, then he's going, how can you know? Then he's saying, Srila Prabhupada, Vallabha Bhattacharya's admission of the brother's exalted position should serve as a lesson to one who is falsely proud of his position as a brahmana. Sometimes so-called brahmanas do not recognize our European and American disciples as devotees or brahmanas. And some brahmanas are so proud that they do not allow them to enter temples. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu herein gives a great lesson. Although Vallabha Bhattacharya was a great authority on brahmanism and a learned scholar, he admitted that those who chant the Lord's holy name are bona fide brahmanas and Vaishnavas and are therefore exalted. 2.19.72. Vallabha Bhattacharya then recited the following verse. Quote, my dear Lord, one who always keeps your holy name on his tongue becomes greater than an initiated Brahmin. Although he may be born in a family of dog-eaters and may therefore be materially by material calculation, be the lowest among men, he is still glorious. This is the wonderful effect of chanting the holy name of the Lord. It is therefore concluded the one who chants the holy name of the Lord should be understood to have performed all kinds of austerities and great sacrifices mentioned in the Vedas. He has already taken his bath in all the holy places of pilgrimage. He has studied all the Vedas, and he is actually an Arya. Srila Prabhupada. This verse is quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam 3:33-7. Right, because he wrote his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, so then, you know. 2:19-73-92. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased to hear Vallabha Bhatta quoting from Shastra about the position of a devotee. The Lord praised him personally, and feeling ecstatic love of Godhead, began to quote many verses from Shastra. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, quote, "A person who has the pure characteristics of a Brahman, due to devotional service, which is like a blazing fire burning to ashes all the sinful reactions of past lives, was certainly saved from the consequences of sinful acts, such as taking birth in a lower family. Even though he may be born in a family of dog-eaters, he is recognized by learned scholars. But although a person may be learned scholar in Vedic knowledge, he is not recognized if he is an atheist." Footnote 21, Hari Bhakti Shudo Doi 3:11. Why always mention dog-eaters? Right? Why not something else, you know?
I was about to ask the same question, why dogs? Because actually dog, if you eat dog, it's higher than eating the cow.
It's less sinful.
It's less sinful.
But it's more degrading.
More degrading.
See, is that when you have, then Manu explains, is that when you have the marriage matching properly, and then the children. Because the idea is that the similar nature should be there so that the children have the proper nature. Mm-hmm. Because nowadays it's just, oh, if in love and this and that, that's nice for the parents, but what about the kids? Mm-hmm. You know? So we can see people don't really worry as much about the kids. Like you see divorces there. It's about themselves, not about the kids. So you can say, we don't have that affection anymore. And so they break off. But for the kids, you're legally and naturally their parents, whether you're together or not. You marry someone else, you're still their parents. So they're not considering that aspect. So the Vedic very much would consider that. So if you have someone marries someone of an equal nature, then the child will be of that same equal nature. You know, whether they take advantage or not, that's another thing. But that at least that they're given that best opportunity. So that would be the natural position, the recommended position. Like you say, it mentioned that Vallabha Bhatta, he married a girl from the same community. You know, so that's the thing. Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommends the same thing. You have to marry someone of the same nature. Same kind of background. It's, you know, even the same community works. You know, because otherwise you marry from the wrong community, the other person may hate borscht. And now what do you do? You know, I'm saying? So that's the thing. So it has to be, you know, can you imagine that? You know, guys from North Italy, the girls from the South, you know, she always cooks hot, he can't handle the hot, or the other way around. You know, he's just, therefore, that the more similar it is, the easier it is. But even if it's not, the main thing you have to see is if they're brahminical nature, that the other has the brahminical. Kshatriya, vaishya, like that. Even if they are backgrounds are different. So, now, in mixing you have pratiloma and anuloma. So anuloma means with the grain. You know, it's like your hair, if you brush forward, it's smooth. If you go backwards, it's bristly. So forward is anuloma, backwards is pratiloma. You know, so it's like you say, oh, something's wrong and they got the bristles up. Yeah, that's pratiloma. So anuloma means then the boy, his nature is higher than the girl's. So if there's 1 degree difference, Brahma or Kshatriya, then the child will have the nature of Kshatriya. Spirit of the Brahman, nature of the Kshatriya. Right? Or a Kshatriya boy, Vaishya girl, you know, same thing. Spirit of the Kshatriya, nature of the Vaishya. Or Vaishya boy, Shudra girl, then it will have the spirit of a Vaishya, the nature of a Shudra. So that's 1 degree. In Anuloma, you still get a pure kind of nature, that the nature is that, but the spirit's a little off from it. So it's not quite exactly the same. Right? Does that make sense? So now, but if it's 2 degrees, Brahman with Vaishya, you actually get a different species. And then Brahman with Shudra, now you get a Nishada. Right? You know, so they're always that. But this is an Anuloma. So the lowest you get is in Anuloma is Nishada. Now if we go to Pratiloma, 1 degree difference, you already have a different species. So if you have Brahman mother, Kshatriya father, you get a Sutta. Right? You know, and then like that, you know, all these different things, they have all these different. So if you have a Brahman mother and a Shudra father, you get a Chandala, which is a dog eater. So it's the lowest mentality you can get out of all the combinations. So that's why they say even a dog eater, because that's the lowest of the combinations. So even if someone's not eating dogs, they have a mentality. You understand? So you have a mentality of a Shudra. And because it's mixed, it's always going to have a weird outlook. But you have a Brahminical kind of like that nature. So what are you going to use the Brahminical nature for? Really low class things. And so you see is when Brahmins, they take up low class doctrines and philosophies and that, they can really make trouble. Right? Shudra goes on espousing some bogus philosophy, who cares? But a Brahmin, right, that has that you know. So it's the worst. So a Chandala is the worst, because they definitely are going to talk stuff that shouldn't be talked, do things that shouldn't be done, and be proud about it and figure that they're really aristocratic or very intelligent, or, you know, so they're going to have all these weirdo things. It's the worst mix. So that's why it always mentions dog eater. Yeah. Like that. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? You know, whether there's any dogs available to eat or not, that's another thing. But we're talking, it's a mentality. Right? Mm-hmm. Now, if you take a Nishada boy and marry a Chandala girl, because then that makes it Anuloma, then now you get then you get the...
You get the Chinese.
Yeah. You got yes. Swapacha, something like that. There's something like that. So they're like serious dog eaters. Yeah, so that's considered then worse. But they don't talk about that, because it's just, that's the natural form. But now when you get into outcast, then you can get from outcast mixes and get worse and worse and worse. Like that. No, I think that's called the antavasayi. The antija. It just means they're outcasts amongst outcasts. Even the other outcasts think they're outcasts. Like that. So therefore, amongst them, you don't need to talk about it. Amongst the, within the Varnashram, then you're talking about it. So that's why the dog eater. So dog eater represents all the rest. Like that. Does that make sense? So that's why it's brought up.
This would require a footnote in every verse in the Bhagavatam that this is not. Because most devotees are about it, but people eat dogs. You're in low class if you eat dogs. I mean, you eat the dog except people in the south of China.
Koreans
are into it.
Oh, yeah.
I think Vietnamese also. Yeah. I think generally over that area, if you know, no one's watching and they can catch one, then, you know, how you say, soup's on.
Nagaland.
Sorry? Nagaland, yeah.
Nagaland.
Yeah.
They have specific dogs in Korea that they actually breed for eating.
Oh.
Oil.
Okay.
That's why we don't have temples.
Yeah, there's no temple in South Korea.
No.
No.
But the community is all Bangladeshi.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But locals, they'll give you donation, but they'll never do whatever you do.
Oh, well. Then for another verse. Lord Chaitanya. So, for a person devoid of devotional service, Birth in a great family or nation, knowledge of the revealed scriptures, performance of austerities and penance, and chanting of Vedic mantras are all like ornaments on a dead body. Such ornaments simply serve the concocted pleasures of the general populace. Footnote 22, Hari Bhakti Shudodaya, 3:12. So these are all like religious positions. Right? Performing the activities that would be the dharma of these great families like that, studying the scriptures very nicely, performance of austerities, penance, chanting of Vedic mantras. These are all religious processes. But as it said, all these nice religious processes are just like ornaments on a dead body. Because the point is, as Jiva Goswami points out, that if you're not understanding your position as the soul and acting in that way, it's the body that's doing things.
Yes.
But because the soul identifies with the body, he gets the reaction.
Yes.
So only when he identifies as servant of Krishna and does things on Krishna's behalf, and that then the soul directly is doing things.
Yes.
So therefore, that's why it's just an ornament on the dead body, because it's the body that's performing all. The body is the taking birth in the great family, is knowledge in the scriptures. Like what are you using? The memory. It's part of intelligence. Dead matter. You're using the mind. It's a dead matter.
Yes.
You know, you're chanting the mantras using the senses, dead matter. So that's why it's an ornament on a dead body. It's not we're just saying that. It's actually because that's factually what's going on. So concocted pleasures of the general populace, because they want these status things. In one sense, they say, we don't want any status thing. Okay, everyone's exactly equal. Is anyone going to be satisfied? No, they want to be better. I'm dressed better, I know better, I have better manners, I have more money, I have a better car. Otherwise, if everybody's about equal, why aren't they pushing that there should only be one car? You know, like India. Now that had, how do you say? Equality. There was just the ambassador. You know? And everybody drove that. The richest guys drove it, you know, the guys that weren't so rich drove it. Of course, the guy driving that wasn't so rich was the driver, and the other guys owned the car. But you know, that's it. That's a minor detail.
Also, inside the car, you have that curtains for the rich guys.
Yeah. I don't know if they had, when it came to India, they used to put those coos grass mats. You know, the really thick ones on the roof. They'd tie them on the roof and throw water. So when they'd go, it would create the coolness. It would make the car cool. There wasn't AC at that time. It was natural. You know, it would smell good also. You know? So you leave the windows open, you get the smell of the coos coming through, the cool from the roof. Yeah. You know, all happening at 20 kilometers an hour in Calcutta.
And you feel like, you know...
Yeah, you're moving,
Formula,
yeah.
Formula One.
Yeah, come on. It's all happening.
It's all about experience.
Yeah.
And you drive in fourth gear all the time. You stop in fourth gear and you spin fourth gear.
Yeah, of course, like that. And there's 20, and there's, well, not 20, that's an exaggeration. 11 people in the car.
Happy people.
Happy, yeah. I've seen them. They come out from Calcutta. They come out here. I was, on the guest house. It used to be on where the courtyard is now. That was the parking lot. And so I was leaning on the veranda, and I'm watching. The car pulls up, and people start getting out. I started counting. And these are, you know, Marwaris, you know. These are, you know, Calcutta Marwaris. Yeah. And 11 got out. You know, kids and everything, you know, the mix. But still, even there's, you know, 5-6 kids, you know, and a bunch of adults and 5-6 adults. It's still, that's a lot of people in that car. You know, I always wonder how they sit. And it's just you get in. The first person sits like this. The next person sits forward. The next person sits back. The next person sits forward. You know, kids go on the lap of the guy that's sitting back. Right, you know, so that way, you know, and they were happy. It wasn't like, oh, this is an inconvenience. No, everybody's happy. We're going, it's moving, you know. Hey, we hit 30, you know.
One of the kids, when somebody sits in the front, the other kid sits on the top of that back seat.
Oh.
With legs in that space when the other person sits there.
So oh, wow. That's interesting, right? Oh, with the one that's sitting forward, they sit on the back there.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that one. Okay.
And the driver, when he drives,
yeah, he's sitting all the way over against the door. Yeah, so far out. You know, there's
the guy here. Yeah, the deer hurts the leg, actually. I've seen it so many times today.
yeah, no. You would just that time. You don't see nowadays, but before, yeah, you'd see that. It's so funny.
We used to go to a school in that small three-wheeler auto.
Yeah.
15 of us.
15 in the three-wheeler, the regular three-wheeler.
The yellow color.
Yeah. 15.
With all the bags and all.
They put the planks at the back. You get six inside and three on each side sticking out.
And the bags are on the sides.
Yeah.
And you have to pack put the equal number of bags here and the other side, otherwise it can
fall over. Yeah, in the West, it's like they'll make a record by everybody getting to one. But if they actually counted that of 1,000 rickshaws in Bombay, how many people were in that? That would take the world record. When the Lord saw that, I guess this is Vallabhabhatta, right? When he saw the Lord's ecstatic love, Vallabhabhattacharya was certainly very much astonished. He was also astonished by the Lord's knowledge of the essence of devotional service, as well as by his personal beauty and influence. Vallabhabhattacharya then put Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates aboard a boat and took them to his own place to offer them lunch. While crossing the river, Jamuna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the glossy black water and was immediately bewildered with ecstatic love. Indeed, as soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the river Jamuna, he immediately made a great sound and jumped into the water. Everyone was filled with fear and trembling to see this. They all hastily grabbed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and pulled him out of the water. Once on the boat's platform, the Lord began to dance. Due to the Lord's heavy weight, the boat began to tilt. It began filling up with water and was on the verge of sinking. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tried to restrain himself as far as possible before Vallabhabhattacharya. But although he tried to keep calm, his ecstatic love could not be checked. Seeing the circumstances, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finally became calm so that the boat was able to reach the shore of Ardaila and land there. Fearing for the Lord's welfare, Vallabhabhattacharya stayed in his association. After arranging for his bath, the Bhattacharya took the Lord to his own house. So he must have had bath there at the Jamuna, and then. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived at his home, Vallabhabhattacharya, being greatly pleased, offered the Lord a nice sitting place and personally washed his feet. Vallabhabhattacharya and his whole family then sprinkled that water over their heads. They then offered the Lord new underwear and outer garments. Vallabhabhattacharya worshipped the Lord with great pomp, offering scents, incense, flowers, and lamps. And with great respect, he induced Balabhadra Bhattacharya, the Lord's cook, to cook.
So he invites him over for lunch, and Balabhadra does the cooking?
Yes. But it's at his house, he's the host. The point is, whoever cooks, he's the host, he gets the benefit. And he can oversee and see and interact and everything. He might serve, or, you know, he'll have to see how it works out. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was offered lunch with great care and affection. The brothers Sri Rupa and Sri Vallabha were also offered food. Vallabhabhattacharya first offered the remnants of the Lord's food to Srila Rupa Goswami and then to Krishna Das. The Lord was then given spices to purify his mouth. Afterwards, he was made to rest, and Vallabhabhattacharya personally massaged his legs. While Vallabhabhattacharya was massaging him, the Lord asked him to go take prasad. After taking prasad, he returned to the lotus feet of the Lord. At that time, Raghupati Upadhyaya of the Tiruhita district arrived. He was a very learned scholar, a great devotee, and a respectable gentleman. Srila Prabhupada. Tiruhita, or Tirhutia, is a combination of four districts in Bihar: Sharan, Champaran, Muzaffarpur and Darbhanga. The people of this state are called Tirutiya.
These are on the border of Nepal.
Oh, they're all right at the top. Okay. Raghupati Upadhyaya first offered his respects to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the Lord gave him his blessing, saying, "Always stay in Krishna consciousness." Raghupati Upadhyaya was very pleased to hear the Lord's blessings. The Lord then asked him to describe Krishna. When Raghupati Upadhyaya was requested to describe Krishna, he began to recite some verses he had personally composed about Krishna's pastimes. Hearing those verses, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was overwhelmed with ecstatic love. Raghupati Upadhyaya recited, "Those who are afraid of material existence worship the Vedic literature. Some worship Smriti, the corollaries of the Vedic literature, and others worship the Mahabharata. As far as I am concerned, I worship Krishna's father, Nanda Maharaj, in whose courtyard the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, is playing." Footnote 33. This verse recited by Raghupati Upadhyaya was later included in Sri Rupa Goswami's Padyavali 126. When Raghupati Upadhyaya was requested by the Lord to recite more, he immediately offered his respects to the Lord and granted his request. "To whom can I speak? Who will believe me when I say that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is hunting the gopis in the bushes by the banks of the river Jamuna? In this way, the Lord demonstrates his pastimes." Footnote 24. This verse was also later included in the Padyavali 99. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested Raghupati Upadhyaya to continue speaking about the pastimes of Sri Krishna. Thus, the Lord was absorbed in ecstatic love, and his mind and body slackened. When Raghupati Upadhyaya saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic symptoms, he decided that the Lord was not a human being, but Krishna himself. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Raghupati Upadhyaya, "According to your decision, who is the foremost being?" Raghupati Upadhyaya replied, "Lord Shyamasundara is the supreme form. Of all Krishna's abodes, which do you think is the best? Raghupati Upadhyaya said, "Madhupuri or Mathura Dhamma is certainly the best." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, "Of the three ages of Krishna known as childhood, boyhood, and fresh youth, which do you consider best?" Raghupati Upadhyaya replied, "Fresh youth is the best age." When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, "Among all the mellows, which do you consider best?" Raghupati Upadhyaya replied, "The mellow of conjugal love is supermost." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then asked, "You have certainly given first-class conclusions." After saying this, he began to recite the full verse in a faltering voice. "The form of Shyamasundara is the supreme form. The city of Mathura is the supreme abode. Lord Krishna's fresh youth should be always meditated upon. And the mellow of conjugal love is the supreme mellow." Footnote 25. This verse is found in the Padyavali 82. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then embraced Raghupati Upadhyaya in ecstatic love. Raghupati Upadhyaya also was overwhelmed by love, and he began to dance. Vallabha Bhattacharya was struck with wonder to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Raghupati Upadhyaya dance. He even brought forward his two sons and made them fall down at the Lord's lotus feet. Upon hearing that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had arrived, all the villagers went to see him. Simply by seeing him, they all became devotees of Krishna. All the brahmanas of the... So you can see, it's that first-class devotee that just by seeing you chant the holy name. So here by Lord Chaitanya, you become a devotee. Like that. So.
Maharaj, this is the first time we hear about Raghupati Upadhyaya. And from his narration and from his writing, we see that he's a Rasika Bhakta. And you say that you say sometimes you can't find out what people come from, you just talk about.
Yes.
So he's one of those. You know, it's like he doesn't belong to his Sampradaya, that Sampradaya.
Like
he's already
that.
In line with Lord Chaitanya.
Yes, but you see he'll be a follower of Lord Chaitanya.
Yes.
But yeah, where it is, there'll be something proper. They'll be appropriate because those things aren't actually the most important. The important thing is that you are in a sampradaya and you are like that. But then the whole background and all that, that's not the important thing. The purva samskar isn't the important aspect. The important thing is that how they are applying themselves in Krishna consciousness. You know, so it's only for preaching we might mention where people are from and all that. And so beyond that consideration, that people would be impressed that Krishna is going all over the world and all that. And so that kind of aspect is there. You know, some will say, oh, that's bodily consciousness and this and that. But the point is the soul is not the body anyway, but the background is from there. And so you're not identifying with it. So then it's not so important unless it brings out something, then it won't be brought out. So if the acharyas bring out some detail, then it's important. But if they don't bring out the detail, it doesn't matter. Is that, you know, so because sometimes we may put too much emphasis on that, but that's not the point. The point is that full absorption in Krishna consciousness, that's the important element. And so that's what should be taken. So... All the brahmanas of the village were eager to extend invitations to the Lord, but Vallabha Bhatta Acharya forbade them to do so. Vallabha Bhatta then decided not to keep Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Adila because the Lord had jumped into the river Jamuna in ecstatic love. Therefore, he decided to bring him to Prayag. Vallabha Bhatta said, if anyone likes, he can go to Prayag and extend invitations to the Lord. In this way, he took the Lord with him and departed for Prayag. Vallabha Bhattacharya avoided the river Jamuna, putting the Lord on a boat in the river Ganges. He went with him to Prayag, right? Because Jamuna will be the dark color, while Ganga will be the kind of gray color, like that. And that gray, so we can say, is, oh, no, it's from going, it picks up the mud. No, Prabhupada said that Ganga produces that silt, that grayness in the water. Ganga produces it, because whether it's moving fast or slow, it's the same color.
Yes.
It's not that it's fast moving, and so therefore, does that make sense? It's producing it itself. So some people say, "Oh, it's dirty." No, Ganga produces it herself. So it's you know, some unique pastime. Putting the Lord on a boat in the river Ganges, he went with him to Prayag. Due to the great crowds at Prayag, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to a place called Dashwamedha Ghat. He was there that the Lord instructed Sri Rupa Goswami and empowered him in the philosophy of devotional service. So this is Dashrashwamedha in Prayag, not in Varanasi.
No.
Yeah, somehow or another, I just took it Dashrashwamedha was always Varanasi, but they have one there. Okay.
You talked previously about Manikarnika.
About?
Manikarnika, remember? When Lord Chaitanya was in Varanasi, he stayed at Manikarnika.
Okay.
You mentioned it was means the jewel hearing of Lord Vishnu.
Oh, okay.
And we were discussing whether this is where he stays.
Okay, yes, yes.
So I looked it up.
Okay.
Manikarnika today in Varanasi, that's where the biggest amount of bodies are being burned.
Okay, that's down from Dashrashwamedha.
Yes.
Okay. That's the next one down. Oh, okay. So I guess at those days it wasn't as much. Yeah, that was in a different place.
A different place.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah, and when I was mentioning about that cross the river, something you had that deity, that's in Prayag, not in Varanasi. So in the Varanasi, that deity, I don't know.
Because there's nothing on the other side in Varanasi.
Yeah, no, it's just, yeah, it's just open, isn't it?
It's always open land.
Yeah, but in Prayag, because you have the one side and then you have the other. You know, the side where everyone stays for the Kumbh Mela, that deity is on the other side. It was there that the Lord instructed Sri Rupa Goswami, empowered him in the philosophy of devotional service. Srila Prabhupada. Parashya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shruyate. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 1365 Purport. The Supreme Lord has multipotencies, which the Lord bestows on his fortunate devotees. The Lord has a special potency by which he spreads the Krishna consciousness movement. This is explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya 7:11. Kali Kalera Dharma Krishna Nama Sankirtana Krishna Shakti Vina Nahe Tara Pravartana. One cannot spread the holy name of Krishna without being specifically empowered by Lord Krishna. A devotee who receives this power from the Lord must be considered very fortunate. The Krishna Conscious Movement is spreading to enlighten people about their real position, their original relationship with Krishna. One requires Krishna's special power, so original relationship, so that relationship is there. So you can't take it. In other words, you can't. The Tathasta position is just where you start. You have a relationship, but then it's now you cultivate that relationship or you don't. Right? One requires Krishna's special power in order to be able to do this. People forget their relationship with Krishna and work under the spell of Maya, life after life, transmigrating from one body to another. This is the process of material existence. The Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, personally descends to teach people that their position in the material world is a mistaken one. The Lord again comes as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to induce people to take to Krishna consciousness. The Lord also empowers a special devotee to teach people their constitutional position. Verses 115 to 135. The characteristics of Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Sanatana Goswami. 219, 115 to 117. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught Srila Rupa Goswami the ultimate limit of the truth about Lord Krishna, the truth about devotional service, and the truth about transcendental mellows, culminating in conjugal love between Radha and Krishna. Okay, truth about Krishna, truth about devotional service, and about the mellows. So all three, Sambandhavidaya and Prayojana, but within the context of bhakti. You know, so like we were discussing before, is that each one you can will have all three in within it. So this is all the three aspects within there. So that means it will touch on everything and connect to everything else, but then you're able to practically apply it. Finally, he told Rupa Goswami about the ultimate conclusions of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught Rupa Goswami all the conclusions he had heard from Ramananda Rai and duly empowered him so that he could understand them. Right? So to be able to understand also is by the Lord's grace. Right? To be able to teach that to others, but it means you have to understand it first by the Lord's grace. Then you can then give nicely, you know, practice it yourself, give it to others. That. By entering the heart of of Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered him to ascertain properly the conclusions of all truths. He made him an experienced devotee whose decisions correctly agreed with the verdicts of the disciplic succession. Right, so you can't have anything that's outside of the disciplic succession. This idea is, oh no, you can make yourself up, or spontaneous means that you do whatever you like, or advanced means, no. It means he empowered it, so he can, all him, he's experienced, so the decisions are in line, correctly agree with the verdicts of the disciplic succession. Thus, Sri Rupa Goswami was personally empowered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada. The principles of devotional service are only apparently under the jurisdiction of material activity. To be rightly guided, one must be personally guided by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This was the case with Srila Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and other acharyas. Right? He personally instructed them. So even if they're coming in other lines, they're still instructed by him. Because one could say, but he was, you know, came in contact with Vallabhabhata, came in contact, and he's in this other sampradaya. But in any case, he instructed them all anyway. You know, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarka, Ramanuja, Madhva, they all met Lord Chaitanya in Navadvipa. And then there he instructed them and gave that, because he is the Yuga Avatar. So he instructed them and empowered them to preach. So that's the whole point. You can be in any sampradaya and still be a follower of Lord Chaitanya. But, you know, they may have their particular directions they're going with that. So that's the whole point, is that by Lord Chaitanya's grace, any of the sampradayas, you're able to progress and go to whatever destination you want. It makes it very easy. Because through the chanting of the holy name, all these things become available. Right? But then if you want to go to Braj, then you follow the directions given by Lord Chaitanya's close associates. Yes?
Whether the Sampradayas understand it.
Whether they do or not doesn't matter. So that's why we don't have a problem. You know, that's why it's unfortunate they make those comments about Balabhavata. Because anyway, he was instructed by Lord Chaitanya, and he chose to, you know, function in the Vishnu Swami line. Like that. You know, it's probably more for him a local line, because he's from Sahagun. So, you know, that, but he's still, that whole point of the kirtan and that, and them appreciating the Sankirtan movement and all that. So that stays.
Once more, it seems that he's the one who started this Pushti Marg, no? So,
yes.
That Naji Vaishnava, he only started. And then later on, because that Gopal deity became the famous, and it became their deity, then they shifted to this one. Because in Andhra, Narsingadev is Ishtadev for everybody. Like in Orissa, Jagannath, in Andhra is Narsingadev.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, then when Vallabhabhat came to Vrindavan, then that's how it shifted, the whole Ishtadev became Srinathji.
Okay, is that?
Yeah.
Because in south, then it'll still be, in the Vishnu line, it'll still be.
Yeah,
but he says, but with Balabhavata, doesn't it?
Later on, it will be described by Krishna's Kavya of Goswami that he actually took initiation from Gadadhara.
Oh.
But they won't accept it. His followers, they deny it. They say no.
Well, because they're going to deny anything that might mean they have to give the deity back.
And there's in the Tota Gopinath Mandir, there's a list of the disciplic succession.
Okay.
And it is right there.
Right there.
There's an evidence.
Right.
That Vallabhavata took initiation from Gadadhara.
Gadadhara. Yeah. Yeah. So these things are there. So as long as there's the bona fide line, then that's good. You know, we have what we do. In other words, it's just like you have so many families, and they may be a common community, but it's still you follow, you do the thing, the activities of that community according to your family. Like that, not someone else's family. They're not your authority. Your family's the authority. So the Vaishnav community is a common community, but you may be following the particular dictates of your particular line. And so therefore we can move with all these and be very comfortable. But at the same time we do what we do. We don't have to impress them that we do what they do. We just do what we do. And just doing what we do, you know, they notice.
I think Prabhupada wrote a letter. I think he wrote it up here. He said, you should try to give the deity back. Went to Matagwar, met the priest, you know, started questioning him, and he said, who is Mahaprabhu? Because they call him Mahaprabhu in Matagwar.
Yes, yes.
Balabha.
Yeah, Balabha. They call him Mahaprabhu. That's why they, because they know about Mahaprabhu, but they try to avoid that it's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, yeah. So they say it's Balabha.
Anyway, the conversation in Bhuvai, he mentioned, tells the story of Baba Memory.
Okay, but he walked out on both legs, or he got some assistance?
He walked out on two legs.
Okay.
Then he says, then Prabhupada told Virashwami, get the deity back. Go to court if you have to. And he said, get the help of the king of Udaipur.
Because it's near the Udaipur.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's the city. In his book Chaitanya Chandradaya, Kavi Karnapur, the son of Shivananda Sen, has elaborately described the meeting between Sri Rupa Goswami and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
It's the son who, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted the holy name, he started speaking.
Karnapur. Oh, okay. Okay, then he was known. Okay. And when he says Chaitanya Chandradoya, that means the Nataka?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's Kavikarna.
Oh, okay.
What?
In the course of time, the transcendental news of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan was almost lost. To enunciate explicitly those transcendental pastimes, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami with the nectar of his mercy to carry out this work in Vrindavan. End quote. Footnote 26. This verse is 39 from Act 9 of Chaitanya Chandradoya by Sri Kavi Karnapurna. Okay. So there. From the very beginning, Srila Rupa Goswami was deeply attracted by the transcendental qualities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thus, he was permanently relieved from family life. Because it's a matter of a higher taste, then you don't have these positions. That's why then for the, the grihasthas, then as they become more and more attracted, and they get older and the family grows up, then they become vanaprasthas. They're no longer family people as such. They're vanaprasthas, so they're living that detached lifestyle and absorbed in Krishna consciousness and all that. So whether they're together or whether they're sometimes, because it can either be they always stay together, or it can be that the wife stays with the family, the husband goes out, comes back sometimes, or sometimes they're there, sometimes they go out. Any of these kind of combinations. But you technically, vanaprasthas are called family people. Right? Even though they may be husband and wife living together, but they're not family people. Family means, you're trying to develop and cultivate and expand and all these things. So here, by getting that higher taste, then that position of family life is gone. One's not interested in these things.
Also, we used to see in villages, anybody who's above 50, 55, always used to see them in the courtyard. They're never inside the home.
Yeah, that's
always in the courtyard.
True.
Yeah.
You're with those, charpais?
Yeah.
And you know what? In 92, there was a big earthquake in Latur. Mm. Right? I went down there to do food falling. And what they saw, there were about 80 villages where all the houses collapsed.
Right.
And the only survivors were the elderly people, because they were not.
They were all in the courtyard.
They were in the courtyard. And all the young people died. The young couples, newly married people, all died. And the elderly people survived. And then they came. Remember, we were serving out the halwa, but they didn't want halwa. They wanted coconut oil for their hair, and they wanted new sarees. So we gave them some sponsors.
Okay.
That was the most important thing.
Okay. Well, why not take the halwa and those things?
They got both.
Okay.
But they made their point clear, though.
Yeah.
This anyhow you've got, we'll give us.
Yes. Yeah, no, that's.
So Maharaj, yet you said that Rupa Goswami did not get married, eh? From the very beginning, was the fact that she came out of
it. It doesn't say if he was married or not. That's another of the details. It's like, what do we care? The point was, he was permanently relieved from family life, meaning there was no more interest in that. He's left, he's out there, so therefore he's the Goswami.
Who,
no, it means Rupa Goswami. Yeah, whether they were married before Sanatan or Vallabha was
I think only Anupa was married. Because Jiva Goswami is his son. But then Rupa and Sanatana, they were like just on their own serving the Nawab.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess who's going to marry them, right? Because you're in between. The Muslims won't marry you and the Hindus won't marry you. So.
Also, still there is a tradition in Brahmin families. Some of them, very elevated in consciousness people, though they get married, they don't stay with wife.
They don't stay. They're like that. You also have a lot, it's not an uncommon thing in Brahmin families that somebody doesn't get married. They'll be part of the family scene, and they may have their job in this, but they just don't get married. It's not uncommon. There's not enough interest to get married, but they're not the same completely aloof that they don't feel that, you know, duty and help the family and everything like that. So I guess they were, you know.
Maybe it's the reason why they marry the rich.
Okay. That should have been the first indication. Oh, you didn't hear? He says that the indication should have been that Rupa Goswami was so rich. You don't get it?
Because he had a good job, that's it.
No, if he was married, he would have. There wouldn't have been, two boatloads of gold coins.
Probably only one boat.
Yeah, one boat or half a boat, you know. Because then you'd have to have a home here and a villa there, and then this, and then all the different things, you know.
Because it said that he left for his family members.
He left that. I mean, that would be the greater family. You know, so whether it's, you know, whatever it is, it doesn't. Because that's the point, is it doesn't really matter. The Purva Samskar is not so important. Just like for us, the background is not so important. You know, unless there's something you can gain from it or learn from it, then otherwise there's no real importance to it. Is that? Yeah.
Anupam also, it's because Jiva Goswami is very explanation, otherwise.
Yeah, otherwise.
But him also could not have it.
Okay, so Vallabha and Anupam are the same.
Same.
Okay, so he was married, his son was Jiva Goswami. Oh, okay, so he's their uncles. Okay. Okay. Okay, so that means three of them were the Gaur Saraswat.
Yes.
And then Gopal Bhatta, then he was from that line of the Pujaris at Sri Rangam. And then Raghunath Das, then he was from his uncles,
yeah.
Like that.
Raghunath Bhatta is from Tapan Mishra, Bangladesh.
Raghunath
Bhatta. Okay.
But remember when Lord Chaitanya arrived in Varanasi, you read that Papa Mishra was inviting him to his home and Raghu was sucking his toes.
Oh, okay. Okay. So that means two of the Goswamis were sucking on Lord Chaitanya's toe, right? So Gopal Bhatta and Raghu Bhatta, so the two Bhattas.
Yeah. One of the ways to advance.
that's an anga of bhakti.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think you have to be really, really small to be able to get away with it, you know, to be qualified to take part in that particular anga of bhakti. Okay.
Like that girl in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Some girl, from the plastic shoe that Srila Prabhupada came from India. And the mother freaked out.
Oh, in the house they stayed at, of the Agarwals.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I wonder what happened to her.
Probably GB Sina.
Huh?
GB Sina.
Oh. Nobody's made the connection yet. Okay. From the very beginning, Srila Rupa Goswami is deeply attracted by the transcendent qualities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thus, he was permanently relieved from family life, right? Because he tastes the higher taste than other tastes go. Srila Rupa Goswami and his younger brother Vallabha were blessed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although the Lord is transcendentally situated in his transcendental eternal form, at Prayag, he told Rupa Goswami about transcendental ecstatic love of Krishna. The Lord then embraced him very fondly and bestowed all his mercy upon him. Footnote 27. This is verse 29 from Act 9 of Chaitanya Chandradoya by Sri Kavikarna Purna. Indeed, quote, indeed, Srila Rupa Goswami, whose dear friend was Srup Damodar, was the exact replica of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was very, very dear to the Lord. Being the embodiment of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic love, Rupa Goswami was naturally very beautiful. He very carefully followed the principles enunciated by the Lord, and he was a competent person to explain properly the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expanded his mercy to Srila Rupa Goswami just so he could render service by writing transcendental literatures. Footnote 28. This is verse 30 from Act 9 of the Chaitanya Chandradoya by Sri Kavikarna Pur. Yeah, so here, carefully follow the principles enunciated by. So that's the thing, is that the idea that you're naturally following them. See, Vaidhi means you're following because you're supposed to. Rag means you're following because you want to. They're following because Lord Chaitanya gave this. Who wouldn't want to do this? Right? And it's a natural lifestyle. It's the way Lord Chaitanya is living. So who wouldn't want to follow? So that's just the thing. It's the natural affection and all that. And so, therefore, instead of taking the Vaidhi or the Vidhi and that, and trying to drop it down to just some external rules and something from India and this and that, you're taking it and seeing in the context of relationship to Lord Chaitanya and how he's given that, and the Acharyas, and they've lived, and we want to, you know, follow in their footsteps because of that affection. So that would be the natural form if we're talking about universal and elevated. But if we drop it down, and then from there, then we try to remove it by claiming that, see, it's on a lower platform and it's from India and it doesn't apply to the world and these things, then you're getting to very dangerous territory. Because then you're just dealing with upadis. You're not dealing actually with devotional service. Because your whole purpose of doing things is upadis. So that means devotional service becomes an anga of your upadi. Means like in the West, we don't, you know, we don't chant like this, so we do it like this, and we don't eat like this, so we do it like this, we don't dress like this, we do it like this. And so then holding on to one's own upadis, and then you adjust Krishna consciousness into your upadis rather than adjusting your upadis into Krishna consciousness. It's reverse from what it should be. And then the difficulty is because the upadi is the prominent thing. If the upadi is in place, then the devotional service has some meaning. Then it's just basically a form of karma. Like that. And karma, as long as it's, you know, above board and all that, that's okay. But if it's not based on the Veda, and you oppose the Veda, and oppose the Vedic version, that's the fourth offense. You know? So it's not going to give a very good result. Someone has to be very careful, because you see, the acharya means they teach by example. They follow the principles that are given, and all that. And one can say, "No, we're following the principles," but you're only following the principles in the context if they fit into your particular upadi. Yes. Only then they're accepted, and only in the way that fits into the upadi. So we're not following the footsteps of the Acharyas. Then we're creating our own path. You know, we have to remember the moonwalk looks like it's going forward, and it's attractive. Yes.
The difficulty also comes on the higher levels of practice. The smarana is recommended, so it is mentioned you should meditate on the form of the Lord in a dham with his devotees performing pastimes.
Right.
So if it's just a general, you can, you know, without details, you can do. But then when it becomes detailed, then how the Lord looks, how his devotees look, how they dress, you know, what is it, you know, what is the crown, what is the turban,
yes.
The design.
Right.
So you have to see all those details. Otherwise, how do you advance?
Yeah, and if you're always sitting there trying to and your only conversation is that Mother Jashoda must cook pizza because, you know, the what do you call it? You're doing unlimited, you know, she cooks unlimited, never cooks the same thing twice, so she's got to cook pizza, right? Because otherwise you run out of Indian things, so that means pizza. And then, okay, so even say she cooked pizza, that's one time, and then she moves on? If one's so gross in one's concept of cooking that it has to be a complete change of form to be different, then it means one doesn't know much about cooking, and two, then it's a very gross concept. And so one blip in eternity, then, you know, otherwise why does Bhaktivinoda Thakur write how he does? Because those things can be unlimitedly done. You know, and then, oh, does Krishna, you know, wear yellow jeans, right?
Yes.
He's blue, but he wears yellow jeans. These things. Then how are you going to get into advanced things? Because then you're projecting on Krishna what is your upadis. You know, if you say, oh, but nowhere it says this and that, it says, then, you know, it's like either accept the scholarship of the acharyas or accept that you're not a scholar, one or the other. You can't place your scholarship against the acharyas. And if they say this, then this is what we give. All the sampradayas say this. So that means all these Vaishnavas over the generations are wrong. You know. So we have to be very careful about attachment to our own upadis. Right? That's the point of dovetailing in devotional service is, yes, we do have upadis. We're conditioned to work with them. And so in the beginning, that will be very prominent. So you connect it to Krishna, like that. But to make a whole thing about, no, the way we do it is that's the universal, and it's as good as anything else anybody else does, that's just cheating. Straight up front cheating. Nothing less.
And then you have scholars, like a Sanskrit scholar.
Right.
You can take a word,
right,
taken out of the medium,
right,
and you can explain it in many different versions,
right,
and then they'll prove their case. But it doesn't tell here that Krishna wears a yellow dhoti, it says Krishna wears a gown.
Yeah.
So dhoti is, it's something from India. Krishna wears a garment.
He wears a garment, but the point is Krishna performed his pastimes here, and if you see old paintings, then Krishna's any sampradaya, then, because they'll always say, oh, this is introduced by the Muslims.
Right.
So the whole point is you have paintings that go back before the Muslims, and history goes back before the Muslims. So who introduced the dhoti then? And the point is they're taking India as a country when India is just what's left of the Vedic culture.
Yeah.
You know, like that. Otherwise, then, you know what I'm saying? Otherwise, are we just going to say, oh, well, that's the slums of L.A. or the slums of New York? You know? Or are they going to say, no, it's America. It's what's left of it. So that one has to be very, very careful. Is that why would one use one's scholarship to go against what others have already said? Especially if you can, from other things, because it's like that one whole thing is that there was a letter by Prabhupada where he made one statement, and then they'll take that and use that against all the books and say, unless you can show us a letter that says something else, then this stands as the great authority, when Prabhupada said, no, the books are the authority. And so if the books show something different, then that's the authority. So it's the same way. Is they use the rhetoric and all that, and then they come up with these things.
And Prabhupada could give a different answer to different devotees in the same question.
Yes. Because the whole point is, it's a matter of what you're going to understand and appreciate. So the whole point is, and you're taking garment in the modern thing. Garment just means that it's something that you wear. But then you see in other places, and Prabhupada uses wrap, he uses this, he uses that. You know. And so these things fit in very well. And you can say, oh, no, but in the West they don't wear this. It's kind of like you have to be really not fashion conscious and really out of touch to not know that the Pashmina shawls and that is very much used by a huge, wide variety of people in the West, and especially amongst those who are more wealthy and more culture conscious. And they just naturally wear them. They like to wear them. And so to say that these won't work, then you have a problem. Then one has to say, I don't know, is xenophobe, is that meaning, that's, is that a cultural or more about the country? But in any case, it means someone who's afraid of a culture other than the exact one that they follow.
No, I think it's making the point that Prabhupada wanted us to preach to the locals, and now we have to entertain a whole new culture that doesn't belong here.
Right, and what culture are they following? And okay, then like this. Okay, let's just take like this. All those people, let's say, you know, just like, let's take New York. Now, they're being fashionable. Where did that fashion come from? What country? Where did it first hit the runway?
Italy.
Mm-hmm. And possibly a little bit farther north?
Paris.
Yeah. And there's a couple of people that are there, but they'll take flavors from there. So that's the whole point, is that it's Europe sets the fashion. And so if you're going to say, no, we're in America, then why don't they stop wearing European fashion? Stop eating European food. They can say we're Europeans, then act like a European. Yeah. Stop acting like, no, but we're, you know, so that's the whole thing. All it comes back to is that, no, is I'm going to do whatever I want, I'm attached the way I want, and no one should tell me different. And on top of that, even though I'm attached, and attached means that I'm not very advanced, I want the recognition that I'm advanced.
Yes.
And hence, I'll bring anything else down to a level that will establish that. Even if it means attacking the Vedic culture, attacking Prabhupada, attacking what he's done and everything like that, showing it a bad light, trying to say, oh, it's just a country, India, when it's actually what's left of Bharat Varsha. It's not India, it's what's left of Bharat Varsha. So it used to be America was also part of Bharat Varsha, but they've forgotten. And still in India, there's still a little bit left. So these kind of things, they're not useful for one's own personal spiritual advancement or for others. So one has to be very careful because it's based on the upadis. Say, oh, you're preaching to the locals, but everything the locals do are not from America, I said, other than pumpkins. Right? Most people don't eat deer these days. How many people eat venison? Right? And how many people are eating cactus? Right? Like that. So unless they're eating beavers or crocodiles, you know, like that. Everything that they have is brought from somewhere else. Even their horses, they're not from America. I always thought, oh, they were local. No, the Spanish brought them in, and then some of them went wild, and after 100 years or something like that, they were roaming all over America. Then the American Indians, they caught them and then were riding them, and then the man come along, and then, hey, we got horses. I always thought horses were an American thing. Then I found out, no, the Spanish brought them.
Bison? How they call it?
Bison, yeah, bison. If you're eating bison, now they can eat that. Wear bison, you know, bison clothes, bison jacket. You know, wear a bison jacket, eat pumpkin, be American. Yeah.
Like the camels in Australia, they were brought by the Afghanis.
Yeah. Yeah, even the dogs are from here, right? You know. Yeah. Yeah, that's I think I mentioned it the other day. These dogs on the street,
yeah,
they're actually thoroughbreds.
Yeah,
they're an original kind of dog. Yeah. They're a thoroughbred. Though I'm not sure how well that would go down in a dog show, but... yeah. Yeah, so that's the whole point, is as we see from what Jiva Goswami is saying, is that we have to be very careful of these upadis. Otherwise, you come up with the same problem that Vallabhabhata had.
Yes.
Vallabhacharya was attached to his upadis of his background. And so he couldn't fully, you know, accept the line, though he appreciated the philosophy, appreciated all that, but he wanted to live his Brahmanism style, lifestyle. So you see, it's a very common thing. So that's why these are given, so that we are very careful to avoid these things.
Even in contact with Shekinah.
Yeah, even in contact. So there's something there. There's somebody at the same time as, then they get distracted. But at least here, it went off in a took shelter, Vishnu's one. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.